Very important thing from the ayat. So a very beautiful point that is mentioned here, to keep us online, that we have to watch our ways and our practices. Where are we going? We need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed that model. He has placed that manual for us that we will be able to use, and we will know whether we are in or whether we are out. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us clearly in clear traditions, because of the fact that people of the two groups we have mentioned, those people who have become stubborn, and they do not want to humble and they do not want to submit, so therefore their ideas will come about with respect to the justification of some act that they do not want to practice. That's there. And the other sect are those people who, because of the exaggerated love they have, will take things out of context and they will put it on a platform that is far away from that which Allah said and which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam preached. So based on that attitude, new ideas will come. Isn't that so? New thoughts will come. This one will say, I see no harm in this, you can do this. The other one will say, I see no harm in this, you can do that. Everybody is taking their Nabi, and they are saying their Nabi is like this, and their Nabi is like that, and they are celebrating this for their Prophet, and this for their... So what's wrong if we do it? What's wrong? We can also do it. So therefore, new ideas and new thoughts and new ideologies will continue to come whenever people fall into any one of the two categories. Either we are stubborn or either we have too much love that we take it out of its context. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about that. Be careful. Be careful of passing the limits and crossing the borders that are set in the Sharia. He says, Irbad ibn Sariyah radiallahu ta'ala narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Usikum bi taqwallahi wa sam'i wa ta'at. Usikum bi taqwallahi wa sam'i wa ta'at. Wa in kana 'abdan habshiyan. I advise you to fear Allah, to inculcate taqwa and piety. And I advise you to listen and become obedient. Do not become disobedient. To those who are above you, to your leaders and your rulers, those who are placed in authority over you, be obedient to them. Even though it's a slave from Abyssinia that he has been placed over you as an Amir, then you have to listen. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Fa innahu man ya'ish minkum ba'di. For certainly, from among you, speaking to the Sahabas, from among you, those who live after me, فَسَيَرَىٰ اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. They shall see many differences among the Ummah. Differences will occur. This section have their own opinion. That section have their opinion. You will see اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. So many differences. You will wonder which direction to go, what to do. I listened to a khutbah today. The khatib was saying this. I happened to be in another masjid. He said the opposite. I go in this masjid for Taraweeh. They say we should read 20. I go to that. They say we should read 8. Ikhtilafan kathira. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, you shall see it. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied, and he was speaking the truth. So he's advising his companions. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِينَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Upon you is that you shall follow my practice and follow the practice of the rightly guided khulafa. The hadith with this riwayat is proven to be sahih and authentic. Upon you is my practice and the practice of mine sahabas, the rightly guided khulafa. Why can we not follow them? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own tongue said, Abu Bakr fil jannat, wa Umar fil jannat, wa Ali fil jannat, wa Uthman fil jannat, subhanallah. He gave them the glad tidings of jannat. He says, I had two companions on the face of the earth, one on my right, one on my left. Abu Bakr on my right, Umar on my left, and so too I shall have two companions in Jannat, Abu Bakr on my right and Umar on my left. Subhanallah. They were my friends and companions here, and they will be my companions there. He, with his own tongue, approved of their education and their ilm and their status and their piety. Subhanallah, Allah revealed ayat concerning the Sahabas, the opinions of Umar, the muwafaqati Umar, as Alama Jalaluddin Suyuti has mentioned in his book, Al-Itqan. The opinions of Umar, the opinions he had, wahi used to be revealed in conformity to his opinions. The Mufassirin have counted over 23 different masalas and laws, which when Umar taught and he told the Prophet to do, after that revelation came directly, sometime with the own words of Umar, subhanallah. It is such things that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر. Hadith which is Hassan, it is Sahih. If there was a Nabi after me, it will be who? Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So why should there be any objection if the Prophet says, follow me, follow my khulafa, because they followed me? In Bukhari, the riwayat is mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Bakr and Umar, he says, be careful of what you do. Do the right thing and follow me, so that who are coming after you shall follow you. Subhanallah. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Follow me. Do that which is right, what you see me do, so that what those coming after you shall follow you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sanctioning others following the Sahabas. The great mufassir of the Quran, Hassan Basri, the great faqih, without any objections by the muhaddisin and the fuqaha of his time, Hassan Basri, many riwayats coming from him in Sahih al-Bukhari. Once he was asked about a masla. So he said, so and so is the case. That is the masla. The person said, what is your dalil? He said, I have an authentic riwayat that Umar used to do it. He said, bas, Umar used to do it. He says, yes. Umar's action is sufficient for me as a dalil. Subhanallah. Umar's action is sufficient for me as a dalil to know that such a great Jalil al-Qadr Sahabi did an action is sufficient that I know it is correct to do. It is correct to do. Umar, subhanallah, that great personality, Allah used Umar to conquer some of the greatest empires of Islam. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alaykum bi sunnati, upon you is to follow my sunnah, wa sunnati al-khulafai al-rashideen al-mahdiyin, and to follow the khulafa al-rashideen who were guided by Allah, al-mahdiyin for emphasis, who were rightly guided, as we will say, by Allah. They were always guided. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not using al-rashideen al-mahdiyin to say that there will be many khulafa, but only those who were rightly guided follow them. No, he is given the sifat of who the khulafa will be. There will be such people in the sight of Allah that there will be Rashidin and they will be Mahdiin by Allah. This is the sifat of al-khulafa. They will be the sifat of al-khulafa. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying this. He lived with the Sahabas. He saw the actions of the Sahabas. He will take mashwara of the Sahabas. He will change his opinion to accept the opinion of a Sahabi. So he okayed their statements. He sanctioned them. And he asked us, that we will follow them also. He said, Tamassaku biha. Hold on to it, subhanallah. Hold on to this. Wa'adhu alayha bin nawajiz. And grip firmly onto this part with your jaw teeth, as we will say, the molars and the premolars, the jaw teeth. Do you know that the strongest grip you can get is from the molars and the premolars, the jaw teeth? Once you grip something there, it can't escape. So when you grip the sunnati rasul wa sunnati khulafa with your jaw teeth, you will never miss it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa iyyakum wa muhdathatil umur, or muhdathatil umur." And beware of the newly invented things and the new things that are going to come. The new ideas and the new thoughts and the new beliefs and the new practices and the new customs. Beware. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدَعٍ. For every new thing is a bid'ah. Every new thing is an innovation. وَكُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالًا. And every innovation, it is misguidance. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also told us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also mentioned to us. One, he said, he spoke to the Sahabas about what they should follow, how they should be, what they should hold on to, what will be the guiding lines, what will be your criteria to determine whether something is good or bad, whether I am on the path or not on the path, which way to go. So many opinions, ikhtilaf and kathira. This person is saying that person is saying that, this one is coming, look, this book is written, the other one is coming, look, this book has written so and so. Every day there is a new thing. Na'uzubillah, what is happening with the deen? Did the Sahabas behave like that? Did the Tabi'in behave like that? No. The Tabi'in respected the Sahabas and they followed them. They followed them. Do you know how Abu Bakr used to decide cases as the Khalifa? Do you know how Umar used to decide cases as the Khalifa? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says, whenever a masla comes up, the first thing I will look is at the book of Allah. And if I do not find in there, I will look at the what? The sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If I do not find it, I will gather the Sahabas and ask them if they had heard anything of the Rasul. And if they have not, I will ask what is their actions or what are their actions which were sanctioned and okayed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we will decide case like that. And if there was no answer, then we will go on our paths and think about it, make ijtihad and come back to decide the case. When Umar became as the Khalifa, he used the rulings of Abu Bakr as a precedence to set in his Khilafat. And every Sahabi that came used the decisions that were made by the Qazat before them, one following the other. And what is the Dalil? Abu Bakr decided that. What was the Dalil? Umar decided that. What was the Dalil? Ali radiallahu ta'ala. They never ever, wallah, they never ever, when Uthman made a judgment, and he said this judgment is being made because Ali decided that, no one of the Tabi, they were the greatest muhaddis and fuqaha at the time, history will never ever see the like of Abdullah bin Mubarak, Ali ibn al-Madini, Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh, Imam Tahawi in Aqaid. History will never see the like of such personalities. But once they heard that such and such a Tabi'i or Sahabi made it, case is closed. Nothing more than that. It will be a great form of disrespect to ask such a great scholar, where is your Dalil? Na'uzubillah. Do you think he was born yesterday? You're asking him his Dalil? Do you know how many years this man passed through day and night while you are sleeping and while you are going to work? With a hungry stomach, sometimes no food a day, Imam Bukhari living on dates and water. Do you know what they went through to get this ilm and this knowledge that you have the audacity and boldness to say, what is your Dalil? Are you disrespecting the knowledge that Allah has given to them and Allah is preserving with them? Na'uzubillah, what type of fitna we have entered? Every day a new fitna. May Allah protect the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the deen of Allah. May Allah really protect it. Behavior that never ever came up. They were the most deserving people to ask for Dalil because they were scholars. They were the most people of the highest caliber. People accuse Imam Abu Hanifa of being Ahlul Rai, man of his opinion. Imam Abu Hanifa had over 4,000 teachers. Some of the greatest muhaddisin living in Baghdad, in Kufa, in Basra, in Makkah, in Medina, in Rai, Iran, were the ustaz of Imam Abu Hanifa. The purpose was that there will be nothing and no hadith which will escape his ear. That was the purpose of having so many teachers. Hafiz Zahabi, in his book At-Tahzib, says, Kana Imam Abu Hanifa, or Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa, Kana Muhaddithan, Thiqatan. Imam Abu Hanifa was a great and outstanding Muhaddith at his time. He was authentic Muhaddith at his time. Someone asked a person during the time of Imam Abu Hanifa. One of the greatest scholars of hadith at that time was Shu'bah, the ustaz of Imam Bukhari, Shu'bah. Those who have a little knowledge of what hadith will know Shu'bah. They ask a person, Tabi, what do you think about Imam Abu Hanifa's status? What do you think about Imam Abu Hanifa's status in the field of hadith? The person replied, listen to me. It is sufficient for me to know that a person, a muhaddith like Shu'bah, has allowed Imam Abu Hanifa to teach hadith in front of him. He is sitting and he has allowed Imam Abu Hanifa to teach hadith. Go ahead. The ustaz has sanctioned the knowledge of the talibul ilm, the student, Imam Abu Hanifa. He says, after all, Shu'bah is Shu'bah, subhanallah. Shu'bah is Shu'bah. There is no parallel to Shu'bah in the field of hadith at his time, Shu'bah. Imam Abu Hanifa came to Medina after breaking the Hajj in Makkah. He visited Imam Baqir. Imam Baqir, from the Ahlul Bayt, one of the great grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Imam Abu Hanifa met him. As soon as Imam Baqir met him, he says, oh, you are the person who is changing the deen of my great-grandfather. Imam Abu Hanifa says, la hawla wa la quwwata, how can I ever do that? How can I ever do that? So he says to him, please sit down and I will explain to you. He says, which is the weaker sex, the male or the female? Imam Baqir says, the female, obviously, they are the weaker sex. Imam Abu Hanifa says, yeah, Imam, if it is true that I was using my own Ryan opinion to change the deen of your great-grandfather, then I will have given more wealth and inheritance to the female because they are the weaker sex and given less to the male. But I have not done that. The Quranic law is the Quranic law. لِذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَدِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ That when a woman gets one share, the male will get twice. But according to your logics, the weaker sex is supposed to have more. Because she's weaker. But I didn't say so. Imam Abu Hanifa says, isn't it, which is a greater ibadat? Sawm or salat? Imam Baqir says salat. 5 times a day, every day in your life after you reach the age of puberty, you are in the battlefield, you have to perform it, you are sick, lie down and perform it, don't give it up. Which? Sawm, you are sick, delay it, you are on journey, delay it, subhanallah. Salat is not like that, perform it on journey. Fil hadar wa safar. Imam Hanifa says, which is a greater ibadat, salat or sawm? Imam Baqir says, obviously salat is a greater form of ibadat than fasting. He says, okay. Logically, if salat is the greater form of ibadat, then I would have said that whenever a woman misses salat in her haiz, she's supposed to make it up and not make up fasting when she misses it in Ramadan. But I did not say so. Fasting, she must make up, and salat, she will neglect. And he continued to speak to him. And when Imam Baqir, the great muhaddith of Medina, the scholar of Medina, and the great-grandson of the Prophet ﷺ saw the ilm, the intelligence, the knowledge of hadith in Imam Abu Hanifa, he got up and he kissed him on his forehead. Subhanallah. And he made dua for him. May Allah bless you with ilm and taqwa. Imam Abu Hanifa sat in his majlis and learned hadith from Imam Baqir. Imam Baqir was his ustaz. So anyhow, We shifted a little bit because it is relevant. And we were speaking, the attitude that has developed has never ever been seen in the most glorious period of Islam. From the Sahabas, the Tabi'in, the Tabi'in, coming downwards, it has never ever been seen. Today, where knowledge is minimum, knowledge is little, people may have a few hadith knowledge, they will look in their book and they will speak. No one will close the book and teach, because as the season is going further and further away, taqwa is getting lesser and lesser, knowledge is getting lesser and lesser. And in such time, when knowledge is minimum, taqwa is minimum, this is the period that everyone is asking for dalil. Nauzubillah. Are ulta ho gaya. Those people who were deserving to ask didn't ask. Those who do not know, if you ask because you do not know, alhamdulillah, fas'alu ahla dhikrin kuntum la ta'alamun. If you do not know, ask. But asking to argue, asking to prove your point, asking to belittle and humiliate, asking to change without knowledge, asking to create fitna and mischief is totally haram in Islam. Not permissible at all. Al-fitnatu ashaddu min al-qat. To create fitna is worse than killing and murder. Fitna, it's ajeeb. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. He says the best of all speeches, it is the book of Allah. وَخَيْرَ الْحَدِيِ. And the best of all gifts, هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. It is the gift of Muhammad صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the worst of all affairs is the newly created ones that were never there. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدَعٍ. For every newly created thing is a bid'ah, an innovation. Bid'ah means what? Newly created. New idea, new ideology. وَكُلَّ بِدَعَةٍ ضَلَالًا. Every bid'ah is a ضَلَالًا. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, "Sharra al-umur," the worst of all affairs. It is so grave, bid'ah. It is so grave that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another riwayat, reported by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, "Man waqara sahiba bid'atin, faqad a'ana ala hadam al-Islam." Whosoever gives respect and honor to a person of bid'ah, an innovated person, an innovator, he has helped in destroying Islam. Further than that, how grave this thing is called bid'ah. How grave is this thing? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yaqbalu Allahu li sahibi bid'atin." Allah will not accept. Allah will not accept from a person who practices innovation and bid'ah, sawman, fasting, sawman, wala salatan, wala sadaqatan, wala hajjan, wala umratan, wala jihadan, wala sarfan, wala adalan. Allah will not accept his fasting. Allah will not accept his salat. Allah will not accept his sadaqat. Allah will not accept his hajj, his umrah, his jihad. Allah will not accept his farsala ibadat and his nafil ibadat. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yakhruju min al-Islam." This person who practices bid'ah and innovation, he will come out from Islam, kama takhruju sha'ratu min al-ajin, just as a hair comes out of flour, kneaded flour, the dough. You know how easy it will come out? You wouldn't even know it is coming out. So easy this person will come out, he would not even know he's out. In another riwayat, a riwayat reported by Imam Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking about the had and the miqat of Medina. He said, "Al-Madinatu haramum ma bayna ayrin wa thawrin." He said, Medina, there is a haram and a miqat in Medina from Thawr, between Ayr and Thawr, two mountains, Ayr and Thawr. That is a miqat of Medina. He says, فَمَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِيهَا حَدَثًا, whosoever innovates anything in Islam in this Medina, أو آوَى مُحْدِثًا, or he gives refuge to one who practices bid'ah and innovation, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, then upon him shall be the curse of Allah. Listen to what the Prophet is saying. The curse of Allah, the curse of the angels, and the curse of all human beings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that. So the first thing you and I need to know, that bid'ah is a grave thing in Islam. That's the first and foremost thing. Lest anyone take the discourse of any nature as an evidence to go further into it. The first and foremost thing is for us to understand the grave nature of this thing which is called bid'ah. What the Rasul has spoken about it, how he spoke against it, how you and I should refrain from it. But along with that, extremely important is for you and I to know what is this bid'ah. Is bid'ah what you call bid'ah? Is bid'ah what so-and-so call bid'ah? You see something you do not know about, but that is bid'ah. You read one book and it's not there, that is bid'ah. You have read the opinion of Imam Bukhari, so opposing, that is bid'ah. You have read this, this is bid'ah. Your scholar has said this, so that is bid'ah. What is bid'ah? It is grave. It is wrong. It is a major sin. But we have to understand what is this thing called bid'ah. What includes and what falls in and what falls out. Bid'ah is opposing to the sunnah. So in order to understand what is bid'ah, we need to understand what is sunnah. If we understand what sunnah, then we will be able to understand what is bid'ah and what is not bid'ah. Many of the great scholars like Hafiz Ibn Rajab Hanbali, Allama Shatbi Al-Gharnati in his book Kitab Al-I'tisam, and many other scholars, basically they have stated Al-Murad Bil-Bid'ah. What is meant by bid'ah is bringing about something which there is no origin and source in religion, asliyat. He says whatever thing that is practiced, the great scholar, the great muhaddis, Hafiz Ibn Rajab Hanbali, he says whatever may be done and the source can be found in Sharia, the origin can be found in Sharia, then that is not considered to be bid'ah. With the difference in time, the way may change, the approach may change, but it is not bid'ah once the asliyat is there. Many people, you see, even there is extremism in everything, you know that. And just as there is extremism in the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is also extremism in using the word bid'ah. People say this is bid'ah, that is, I say we are all bid'ah. All of us, we are bid'ah. Are we hadith or qadim? Are we eternal or we are newly created? We came in yesterday. Allah innovated us. We were newly created by Allah. We never existed in the past. 50 years ago, we were not here. Everything that, literally, everything that is coming there is newly created is bid'ah. When the Quran speaks about Allah, what is used? Badi'u samawati wal ard. Allah is the innovator of the heavens and the earth. Bada'a, badi', to bring something into existence. People use many different things. Topi is bid'ah. This is bid'ah. That is bid'ah. Na'uzu billah. It is evident, Mullah Ali Qari has written his book Mirqat, it is evident that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wear a qalansuwa, topi. Imam Bukhari indicates to that in his book, in Kitab al-Salat. He quotes the opinion of the Sahabas that if you are performing Salat and your topi or your cap falls on the ground, it is permissible to use one hand and pick it up. So where did the Sahabas get it from if it is a bid'ah? Will they do anything opposing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They saw the Prophet do it, they did it. Tasbih is a bid'ah. They call it bid'ah beads. Huh? Bid'ah beads. What is the purpose of the thing that we call tasbih? Is that you want to recite Subhanallah 100 times, there is an easy way of checking. It is evident the Prophet counted on his finger. Is there any riwayat that tells you it is haram to count on beads? First thing. Is there any dalil? Besides that, it is evident from authentic traditions that Abu Bakr had a bag filled with date palm seeds and he will not go to sleep until he called Allah's name on everyone. And when he emptied it with calling Allah's name, he will fill it back. That is how he did it. They ate a lot of dates. Who ate so much dates? Who will get us 100 dates? So what is wrong if you were to put a string between all to push it in your pocket rather than lifting a bag behind your back? What is wrong with that? Ease in the deen. Ease in the deen of Allah. If you believe this is farz, if you believe this is sunnah, then we have a problem with that. This is to help you. You will count on your fingers. You may not count on your fingers. You will count on this. You will count on that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite istighfar 70 times, sometimes 100 times. You want to count it. How do you count it? So it's bringing ease. So therefore, there is extremism in the usage of the word bid'ah also. People do not understand. So every and each thing that is said, bus. So the next topic is, what is this bid'ah? TK? The first thing we understand is that we shouldn't get involved in it. It's something we should get involved. It's hated in the deen of Allah. But that can only become practical in our lives when we know what is and what is not. So inshallah, we will continue this discourse at some other time, inshallah, so that we will fully comprehend the aspect of what? Bid'ah. Okay. Maulana says that we should continue it. No, he said, why don't you continue it next week? So I think he implies that we should continue it next week. So inshallah, we will continue it next week. Inshallah. So we'll try to be on time, the brothers, so that we will get from the beginning of the topic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from it. May Allah give us sahih ilm. And I always emphasize on that point. So much so, Imam Bukhari says, you must seek knowledge before you speak and before you act. Al-ilmu qabla al-qawli wal-amal. Before you say anything, acquire knowledge. Acquire knowledge. The acquisition of knowledge is not through reading. Else, everybody would have read Bukhari, Muslim, Tirmizi, and say, I am an alim, boy. I'm an alim. No. Innama al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. The statement of Umar, the statement of Bukhari. Knowledge is acquired through learning, teaching process. You learn, you practice, you speak. Don't go about creating fitna and everything you think you are saying it, imposing on people. May Allah protect us from the fitnas of the day. May He give us the understanding of these things. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revive the deen as it was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa la akhir da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.